Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, Ben.
It's Saturday at the time of release.
Yeah.
How are you feeling after, whoa, what a busy week?
Oh, I'm aching. My back's sore. That's literally my association with post-convention.
My back is sore.
I always ache so much by the end of each day while we're at the show, and then the day after we leave is just the worst. I just want to stay in a bath all day while I prune up like a big pruny white prune boy.
You're going to be a real prune boy.
Yeah.
Freshly plucked.
Yeah.
And then dipped in white chocolate, even whiter. I always get, I get sore ankles, like my lower legs. I used to get it when I worked retail as well.
Mm.
When you first work a shift back after either going on holiday or like going back to university or something, and then you have your first shift back standing up all day, and you just get this dull, aching pain all the way in your lower legs, all on the balls of your feet, right in your balls.
I don't seem to get it down there. I get it like lower back and very top of my spine as well, like just under, you know, the little bumpy, spiny neck bony bit.
Yeah, the neck bony bit.
The neck bony bit.
That's what it's called.
Top of the spine. Oh, bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure we enjoyed it other than that.
Yeah, I bet. And I'm sure we met some of you as well, listening / watching at home. We haven't had a chance to record a podcast since we came back, obviously, because we were there until Friday. So this is being recorded super early, which I suppose means if there's anything catastrophic that happens this week, we won't be able to talk about it until next week.
No, this is being recorded before EGX.
So I hope this ages well. What can we say? What's something that will age well in a week?
Let's predict. Mm-hmm. Let's predict the big story.
The big story that's
going to
break.
Next few days.
Okay.
Oh my God! I can't believe that they did a trailer for Spider-Man 2, and he took his mask off, and actually, all the time, even though you do actually see him without his mask on in that game, he was actually Carl God of War from the game God of War.
Carl God of War?
Yeah. Spelt with a K.
Of course.
Carl God of War.
Carl God of War.
And those two games are actually the same. They're set in the same universe.
That is blowing my brain out of my skull.
I can't believe they announced that.
I personally thought it was very brave when they had a Nintendo Direct from Syria.
Yeah?
And they showed off the new Wii. And it's just called the new Wii.
Mm.
And it's just the old Wii, but you can buy it in Syria.
Okay.
And that's what it's called. And it was about an hour and a half of Mario sort of dodging, you know, gunfire.
Oh my God.
And it was really provocative, but it really brought attention to the situation in Syria and how we could all be doing more, you know, more to help. So that was super cool. And I'm sure that'll happen as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, right?
Talking of Syria, do we have a sponsor today, Ben?
Yes, we have a serious sponsor.
A really serious sponsor.
Serious sponsor. Today we're sponsored by the Avengers.
Yeah.
The new video game, not the, you know, not the
not that TV show from
not
the
that
80s.
TV show, yeah, which is why they had to call it Avengers Assemble in the UK.
Yeah.
Because legally they couldn't call it the Avengers for that reason.
Because there was really going to be a lot of confusion. There were going to be really loads of disappointed people turning up to the cinema going,
hang on a minute.
I wanted a was it like a weird spy drama?
I think it was a bit sort of A-Team. I don't really know.
I bet they
it was something between like Charlie's Angels and the A team.
Sounds great.
That's what the A stands for, the Avengers team.
We're brought to you today by Toby Stark.
Toby Storks.
We've got Bruce Jenner.
Black Willow.
Black Willow, also known as Tamasha Romanoff.
Right.
A Roman hoof. We've got, who else is on the team?
Peter's porker.
Peter and his porker, which is just a man and his pig. You've also got Steve Bodgers.
Right.
And, of course, Thor.
Thror.
Oh, it says Thor on mine, but maybe I got the wrong. What does yours say?
I know it says Thor, but it's spelled T-H-A-W.
Oh.
As in warm up in the spring.
That makes sense. Mm. And they're all going to come together and have a big fight, and they're going to save, I think, San Francisco, I think is what they're going to save.
Yeah, Revengers assemble.
Yeah, Revengers disassemble, because, of course, they blow up everywhere that they go.
Right.
And it's a huge problem, and then it's implied that Steve Bodgers might die.
Right.
Captain North America.
Yeah.
And, you know, Toby Stark is... He's really sad about it, and there's going
to
be...
They need some help to come in. They need external help.
They do.
They need, like...
The Zed-Men.
Rocky Raccoon.
They need Rocky Raccoon. They need the Zed-Men. They need the they need the protectors of the universe.
That big tree, Root.
Yeah, Root. Root, and of course, Tax, the deductible.
Yeah.
Is the big guy with the knives. You've got... or who else? You've got Space Wizard...
Yeah.
And gonorrhea.
I sure hope that Stavros doesn't come and do his finger guns.
Do his finger guns.
To make the world
as we all know, the finger guns are real. Stavros. The endless glove.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that's gone on long enough, because it was a lie.
A big lie.
You idiots. I can't believe you. That was a really obvious one. Yeah, I can't believe you all fell for that at home.
You should have guessed when we said... glove.
Yeah, the glove.
It's the forever gauntlet.
It's the forever gauntlet, yeah. You morons. That bit felt like it went on forever.
It did.
We're actually brought to you by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. They support us directly with their actual money. And if you support at any tier, that's even $1, you can submit questions to the show. In fact, all the questions this week, as is the case every week, come from our patrons, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Thank you very much, everybody. We've got a question here. This is a video game. This is a video game podcast.
Yeah.
It is.
Is it?
No, it is. It is. I know we've talked about Syria and the
Revengers.
The Revengers, yeah.
Yeah, disassemble.
Disassemble.
Well, should we read the first question and see if this turns out to be a video game related question?
Mm-hmm.
I think that proves your hypothesis.
It's from an Olympic gold medalist, Victoria Pendleton.
Pennington.
Yeah, Victoria Pennington. What does Victoria say?
Morning or afternoon, boy?
Morning.
It's morning. It's always morning when we film a podcast.
Always morning.
Assuming a game runs correctly. Is video game really? Oh, that's good. Are there any factors that would make a game unplayable to you, along the lines of soundtrack, visuals, acting, or writing? Let's pretend this is a world where you couldn't just turn the sound down. Hope you will enjoy at time of recording / have enjoyed at time of release, EGX.
Oh.
All the love, much best, and thanks, it says.
Thank you, Victoria. That sounds like a T-shirt from China that you get.
Yeah, it does.
Much best and thanks.
Much best and thanks.
With someone sort of doing the praise hands emoji. Much best and thanks. We're doing it on the video. You can't. If you're listening, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You're missing out. Peter.
Yeah.
What does it take for a game to just not be for you? What is it?
Well, I would say this mostly depends on what the game is supposed to be in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just like a simple little mini game, it's like a mobile game or something like that, I don't really mind what the sound effects are like or what the music is like or even to an extent what the visuals are like.
Mm.
But something that often makes mobile games unplayable for me is if they're those stupid... Like, oh, they're not that stupid if you like them, but they're
idiotic.
They're like the super hardcore ones that are deliberately supposed to just be impossible. You know, like right. Super Hexagon or whatever it's called. I think that's actually a Steam game. It might also be on mobile.
Oh, yeah, I think we played that, haven't we?
You just sort of spin. There's like a hexagon closing in on you, and you have to just all you do is rotate around the center point as all these walls come in towards the middle and dodge around. But the whole point is that it's like really, really difficult. And for me, that's not normally what I want to play, like a simple either mobile game or, you know, a basic indie game on Steam for. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, you know, that's what makes those games unplayable. But then, like, on the flip side, a game where, you know, there's a proper narrative, maybe it's like a third person or first person, you know, single player story campaign thing, like, that definitely comes down to, I think for me, voice acting is a pretty heavy, like, factor.
Then just take a look at this.
Yeah. I mean, if me and you are playing a silly game on stream, I can totally get through it. Cause, you know, the whole point, part of the point is that we're just taking the mick out of Man of Medan, for example.
Yes.
But, you know, if I'm just sitting at home trying to enjoy an actual narrative experience, and they are so cinematic nowadays as well, like, I kind of feel like if this was a movie, I would not be sitting here watching this because it's so bad, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think I do take umbrage when there's really bad voice acting. And I also take umbrage when you're playing a pretty deep, like, rich RPG, for example, and the main player character doesn't speak. You know, it's one thing if they have text boxes and just no actual audible voice acting, but I really, really, really can't get behind Dragon's Dogma anymore because the protagonist doesn't say a word. And I think there's a kind of in-universe reason, but it just comes across as lazy. It's like they couldn't be bothered. You know, I really like that game for all its mechanics and stuff. You can, like, clamber onto giant monsters in a kind of Shadow of the Colossus style. But then every time you go into a cutscene that's, like, further developing the story, your guy is just standing there like a big dumb idiot, literally a dumb idiot. Not that dumb people are idiots.
No, but he is dumb.
But he's dumb and
in
an
the
idiot.
Medical sense.
Yeah,
he's dumb. No, I totally get that. I think that's weird too. That was a huge problem I had with Metro Exodus at the start of the year.
Oh yeah,
was that the protagonist does not speak apart from he speaks in loading screens.
Yeah,
but he doesn't say a word any other time, and people react to you as if you're speaking. Which is just so weird, and it takes you right out of the experience. It's a design choice that makes no sense at all.
Right.
I think some games, like Persona 5, for example, they get away with it because your character doesn't speak. He says things occasionally in battle, like certain words, but you do get to pick dialogue options a lot of the time, and then people react to that. So there's, you know, that is a design choice there. Mm. They didn't want to have a voice actor because they wanted your voice to be in your head, for you. Metro Exodus, though, that made no sense.
No.
I mean, I think it's stupid when games do that.
It's weird. It's almost you can't do it right either with when you choose to just have a person who's not speaking. It's weird to have people responding to you as though you did.
Mm.
But it's also really weird when you're this, like, super famous hero who's walking around. People say stuff to you. They look at you and then they go, ah, the quiet type, huh?
Yes.
Well, here's what you need, and then they just send you on your way. It's so strange.
Yeah, the quiet type. That's dumb. So for me, in terms of a game being unplayable to me, I've gone more the route of not what makes a game so bad I don't want to touch it. It's
right.
What makes a game just sort of literally unplayable, like something I just don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Red Dead Redemption 2, as we've spoken about before, is one of those. And I do actually have this problem with almost every Rockstar game I've ever played.
Yeah, me too.
I really struggled to finish GTA 5, for example, just because it's too big.
Yeah.
There's just too much. There's too many distractions. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying for me personally, Red Dead Redemption specifically, especially as there was, you know, there's no taxis, there's no... I'm sure there might actually be cheats,
There's probably little coaches you can ride.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway. You can't get in on like a super bike or get a helicopter or drive places and stuff. You literally got your horse. It's really slow.
Mm-hmm.
It takes ages to get around. There's the hints that tell you, that sort of introduce you to the game and tell you how things work, they're so small and they're up in a tiny corner of the screen and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just, it's just too much. It's too much. I don't know where to start. You go back to your camp and you have to walk around agonizingly slowly and you're not sure. Help with the chores. I don't know how. There's nothing on my map. I don't know what to do.
And I don't know if they actually do this in the second one, because I also was just too overwhelmed to even want to try it. But certainly in the first one, when you like go to a boss, as they're called in GTA games, you pick up a mission and you then set off and you're just on your horse for like 2.5 minutes, just shouting at them, having a conversation like,
yeah, I'll go want to nail this guy. Yeah, we'll get him. Yeah, well, you know, and most of it's not even relevant to the story. It just sort of ends up being philosophical. Like, What do you think of poor people? Well, I think that they should get on with making their own fortune and we shouldn't help them. That seems like a pretty ignorant viewpoint. Yeah, well, it's my viewpoint.
Now that, you know, what? Hello?
I don't
get
know.
Get me there.
They've got to fill time because They know that you're on a horse and it takes a while to get around. And people love that game. Mm. And that's fine.
It is.
But it's too much. It was too much for me. Similarly, no sense of purpose / completely overwhelming in terms of here's a million things. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed,
right,
with all the map markers. Rage 2 this year was just so, it was just crap. It was just immediately you're released into this open world. And it was like, I don't know what to do. I can't be asked. I used to like Far Cry. Mm. Now it's just, we talk about it a lot. It goes through the Ubisoft open world machine, factory. Yeah. And they're all just the same games with different skins, pretty much, and sort of rubbish stories on top. I tried to play Monster Hunter World, and that's a game that I would love to love.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's just so much to it. Mm-hmm. You have to learn so much. And my time is too valuable in that I just can't be asked.
Yeah.
So in that sense, rather than you took the approach of what makes a game so bad that you don't want to play it.
Yeah.
That's my view on games that are good, but are unplayable to me because I just can't be asked with them.
In that context, I completely agree with that. That would have been my answer if that's how I'd interpreted the question. Yeah, like I even am still yet, and I think I will, I'm really warm into the idea, but I'm still yet to play The Witcher for more than half an hour.
Right.
Because it just seems like, oh my God, like this world is too rich. Like you walk into a town and everyone is doing stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, please no. Like, it seems like a really good game, and I think I will play it soon, but God.
You should.
Yeah, I've got a copy, it's just I've never really got through it.
Found the time to really go at it. Yeah, I think certain games, they're their own worst enemy in terms of introducing you to the game. The Witcher 3, I don't remember having a particularly tough time getting into, because I find that, any game, once you've played it, once you've played it for 2 hours, you should know exactly what the game is about.
Yeah.
You should know how it works. You go into a town where everyone's doing stuff in The Witcher, and then you can go into any town in The Witcher and know exactly what you're looking for in terms of map markers and quest icons and the usual layout of stuff and how it works. But the game's got to do a good job of introducing that to you first. And some games are phenomenal, but they do a really bad job at it sort of easing you in. So only players who will stubbornly stick at it, or who just subjectively really like the game, are going to experience it. But I'd love to love Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like it, but it just was too much.
I think that was my issue with The Witcher 3, is that my first session with it, I think I did have only like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and then I had to like stop for some reason. I had to like go out or, you know, and that wasn't quite enough. Like all I could think of then when I would, you know, came back, or the next day when I was free in the evening, was, oh, I could put The Witcher back on and continue that. And I was like, oh, there seemed like a lot to do when I turned it off. And then, you know, I almost felt like I was sitting down and looking at my chore list, you know.
Right.
But if I just probably got over a bit of a threshold, it probably would have, you know, properly grabbed me by the gonads.
Yes, that's it. That's what it would have grabbed you by. Thank you very much, Victoria, for that question. It's now time to move on to a section. It's groundbreaking. You've never heard it before. It's called What We Play In.
Oh.
Peter.
What You Play In.
Okay. Borderlands 3.
Oh, yeah.
Vaughn is the best character in that game. He's from Tales from the Borderlands, Vaughn.
Yeah.
And he was sort of he started off not as a weak character, but as a lesser character, and then sort of grew in popularity and, you know, in significance as it went on. Mm-hmm. And he's just, I think there's so much of what makes Borderlands great is down to the voice acting.
Right.
Handsome Jack's voice actor made that role his own.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so iconic. And they've tried to do that again in this game with various people. And I'm not saying the voice acting is bad, but there are certainly characters who it's just like, some of the stuff they say is just not delivered convincingly
right.
enough to make you believe that that character is ridiculous. Whereas the stuff that Vaughn comes out with, he's an ex-Hyperion, the corporation. He's an ex-Hyperion accountant. And when he ends up on Pandora during the events of Tales from the Borderlands, he adopts the bandit lifestyle, and now he's a bandit war chief. But he's just so over the top. Like, he's a small man who runs around in his underpants, wears a cape, and he's always talking about how sculpted his body is because he's always doing push-ups and stuff like that.
Right.
And he's just, the stuff he comes out with, it always makes me laugh. It's just, I'm trying to think of an example to give, but with no context, it wouldn't work. But
no.
There needs to be more Vaughn in this game, for sure. Vaughn is at the very start of the game, and now I'm nearing the end. He started to come back into it again when you go back to Pandora.
Right.
But I was really sad that he wasn't on the ship as a constant fixture because he's so good, and it makes me so mad because I've had to put up with characters who are just not as good
right.
for the whole game, who do not have the same impact. And I think Gearbox maybe overestimated the popularity of some of their more established characters.
Yeah.
And sort of lent on them quite heavily.
It's easily done, though, isn't it?
It is, for sure. But Vaughn, and in particular his voice actor, it's just so good. He's so good. Everything he comes out with. And I want to see more Vaughn in that game. When the DLCs come out, I want there to be a DLC that's just about Vaughn.
It's a bit like Rick and Morty. You know, the producers of that thought they'd identified, oh, this is what people love. This is how we should do it. And they then deliberately tried to start preempting the memes. Pickle yeah. Rick.
Yes.
I'm going to go right there. But that's not really what it was about.
No.
I don't think, you know. There's some really subtle characters and, like, episode ideas that are actually, that's what makes that show, certainly what used to make that show great. You know, I'll be intrigued to see what it's like when season 4 comes out
yeah.
or whatever it is.
Abradolph Linkler.
Yes.
Might make a return.
He might.
To say,
yeah.
Pickle Rick might never show up. If please. They don't make a joke about how awful Pickle Rick
oh
is
God,
at some
please.
Point, then they've completely missed the
yeah.
missed the point there. But yeah, Vaughn, Borderlands 3, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge fan. Obviously, we'll have both played a few things at EGX this
yes.
week, and there'll be some videos. Hopefully, some of them will have gone out already. And I don't want to talk about specifically what we're going to try and play, just because we might not be able to.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so there'll be stuff outside of what we're talking about now that we've played this week, but we're recording early. Peter, what have you played?
We finished on Thursday. Detroit Become Human.
Detroit, yes.
Detroit. And because it's only been like a few days since we recorded our last podcast, that's pretty much all. I actually played a little bit more Trine, but I've now properly put that away because I only want to enjoy the rest of it as a threesome, as it
sure.
were. Sure. But yeah, we finished Detroit. Wow, a game, man. It's pretty, like, I don't know, it's pretty heavy, isn't it? Some stuff happens in it.
It sure does. It's David Cage's best game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I really enjoyed it, and I'm not normally a David Cage fan.
David Cage. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I almost, not quite, but I almost want to go back now and start, like, doing different branches and, like, because people were saying in the chat, like, oh, this is what happened to me, these people lived, these people died. And I was like, man, this, you know, I mean, I know that's how these things work, but, like, you know, you can really end up with some pretty different endings, like, you know, relatively yeah. speaking. So just, I really enjoyed it. It was
yeah.
really good.
We had largely a very different experience to what I had compared to what I had when I played it through last year.
Yeah.
But, of course, we were playing as a psychopath.
Yes.
And just picking all the very, very wrong options. So that full playthrough is now available on the channel if you want to go and watch it. youtube.com/teamtriplejump. We've got the full streams uploaded, and you can see us completely ruin these poor robot people's lives.
Robots' lives.
You played anything else?
Yeah, other than Trine, which, you know, still enjoying, but I kind of don't want to say too much about it because we've got to play it together.
Yeah.
At some point, and you know, I absolutely want to keep it all ready like a. Yeah. Like a delicious, like a Christmas pudding.
Like a delicious Christmas pudding.
I don't want to set the Christmas pudding on fire before you're in the room.
Christmas pudding is a garbage dessert.
It is, isn't it?
It's gross.
The only good thing about it is that you set it on fire.
Which is cool. And then you might get some money in it.
Yeah, except we stopped putting money in ours in our family about 10 years ago,
yeah,
because my brother had braces and he bit like a 10p piece or a 50p or something and broke
50.
One of
the... I hope it's not a 50p.
It might have been a 50p. No, I think it's 20p.
Okay,
silver good. Coin, isn't it? I think you put in
some kind of crappy silver coin, yeah, that you played parlor games with.
I think he broke one of the wires on
Jesus.
His brace.
I think
not that anyone has braces anymore. We could start putting money back in, but
but money.
No one eats it.
Money's valuable. You can't be put. It's Brexit soon. You can't be putting money in Christmas puddings.
There's only two people in the family who want it anyway.
It's Christmas pudding. Well, that's the thing, right? It's October. We shouldn't really be talking about Christmas yet because it's illegal. We could be arrested.
We could actually. Yeah.
But I strongly believe that Christmas pudding, much like religion, will probably die out with our parents or
Brussels
grandparents.
Brussels sprouts as well, maybe.
Yeah. Who are they for?
Because it's Christmas.
Who are they for?
What do you mean? You don't have to, just because it's Christmas, you don't have to eat the thing that you
Stop
don't like.
Stop it. Stop it.
Give it up.
Stop it.
Anyway.
Yes. Okay, well, it's time to move on to another question. This is from Rexy Adar.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
You have a crappy Christmas. Yeah, that's what we think. So much. Didn't mean to start reading that like that. Like I was about to start some sort of country song.
Oh, I thought you were. Accusing Rexy of being some sort of nerdy.
There's so much.
No, not at all, Rexy. Sorry, I just started reading it weird, and then I had to commit to it, and then pull out, and now we're having this weird conversation about it. Thanks. No, let's try this again.
Okay.
It's from Rexy Adar. Mm. There's so much negativity in the world today and a lot around our beloved video games. But what do you think is the best and the most positive things about the gaming world? Anyway, thank you for the amazing content and for making me laugh through a difficult time. Love you, boys. Hope you're doing okay, Rexy.
You're welcome, Rexy. Yeah, get happy better soon, one or the other.
That's how it works. Or both. Yeah, get happy better soon.
That's a nice question. I think there's some good things that come out of video gaming.
I don't.
Oh.
I think it's all bad.
Right, well.
Unless it's good.
Let's move on to weird news then.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
No, okay.
Charity, that's one thing that gamers are pretty good at.
Yes.
Not necessarily. I'd have to see the statistics to see whether they're significantly better than other people at it.
Of course.
But they're certainly good at doing that charity stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we have done some... We did a Jingle Jam slot on the Yogscast last year.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we might do one this year, completely unconfirmed, so don't take that as anything. But, you know, they always raise actual millions of dollars every year.
Mm-hmm. They've saved all the whales.
They've saved all of the bees. They've ended polio for whales
they've
and bees.
They've ended polio in Wales, yeah. The country,
mm.
And bees.
Yeah.
Bees too.
They have done that. And then you've got your Games Done Quicks.
Mm-hmm.
That happens, like, there's the two big events every year. But now they're doing all sorts of, like, little... If you subscribe to their channel, I don't know if I'm subscribed, actually, but I check it regularly.
Yeah.
And they
You're
do,
part
like,
of the problem.
I am.
That's why we don't have many subscribers, is because people keep watching our stuff and not bothering to subscribe.
GDQ, like, during GDQ. Like, the number of really long videos that would just be constantly in your sub box.
That's true.
But they've got... They do like sometimes upload like, you know, a series of like five or six videos where they got some people together for a little quick sesh of certain games. So they're constantly like raising money for charity. And again, they must raise millions of dollars, I'm sure.
They've got to.
Yeah. So that's good. Charity. That's one thing.
Yeah. So similarly, I would say communities.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of community. I mean, our community has always been phenomenal. You know, there's the world is burning. And it has been burning since it started turning.
Yeah, that's that song by William Joel.
I dabbed. But it's true, though. If you look too far outside of your own... outside of what you can... yes. Outside of what you can control, it's so easy to be overcome with existential despair and dread because the world's an absolute horror show, but it's always been a horror show. It's just that we're more acutely aware of it than ever before because of technology. But technology can also be a good thing.
Yeah.
It's specifically video games. So even within the world of video games, yes, you look at your 8chans, you look at your THQ Nordics, and you think, God, what else are they going to buy? Mm-hmm. And what other questionable message board are they going to do a Q&A on? And you can think, God, what's the point in games? They make me sad.
Yeah.
Why can't people be nice to each other? But if you just find the right place, you know, and you can settle in with like-minded, lovely people, as we are fortunate enough to have done, then that's a good thing. You can only control so much in the world.
Yeah.
And I think it's important not to try and be a force for good, but not to get too bogged down with feeling overwhelmed by the amount of bad.
No.
So just try and, as I said, surround yourself with the good stuff if you can. And it doesn't mean that you have to bury your head in the sand.
No.
Because that's not good. You should always be aware of what's going on. And as I said, be a force for good. Mm. But Just try to ingratiate yourself in a community of loving, nice people who share similar values. And I think that's something that we try to foster. And I think that that goes for communities that follow various streamers and content creators all over the world.
Yeah.
Some are a little bit more, you know, promote gambling to children than others. But we don't do that here yet. Give us a call, though.
Yeah, if you want to be our first real sponsor.
Give us a call, though, if you want us to promote gambling to kids. We are
Betfred Juniors.
We are Betfreddies.
Yeah.
We are willing to bend our morals a little bit. The other thing that's good in games is that I would say, on average, games are getting better.
Yeah.
The games are getting better.
They are.
You will always have your favorites, and some games will always be bad, but every year, there's almost guaranteed to be a really, really good new game.
True.
And that's why we're here, isn't it? Let's all hold hands around the world and talk about Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah, let's do John Lennon stuff. Imagine all the Resident
Evil. Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah, Eleanor Rigby.
Lives in a church where she plays on her PlayStation 2.
In an octopus's garden. I think video games teach you stuff as well.
Do you?
You learn stuff from video games.
I know more about guns than I have ever wanted to know.
Yeah. I mean, some stuff maybe you're not that particularly keen to learn about, and it osmoses into your head.
I learned a lot about armor as well, although I do have a question for you, and I know that you'll probably know the answer to this.
Right.
In Oblivion, you know the armor you can get for your tum-tum?
Yes.
How do you pronounce that?
I think it's just sort of curious.
Okay.
Because
I've never heard it out loud.
No, I don't.
And
I'm
internally,
not sure
I was thinking, surely it can't be queer ass, can it?
I don't think it's queer ass.
You don't think that it's queer ass?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I might be wrong.
Because Oblivion taught me what it was called, but it didn't. It did not taught me how to pronounce it.
It did not taught you out loud how to say it.
No, no.
On the other hand, though, some games did teach us stuff out loud. My go-to example that I kind of can't get away... I was trying to think of another example, but I learned a little bit of Spanish from Resident Evil 4.
In your life?
In my life. I've never been taught a word of Spanish in an academic institution. We didn't learn it in our school. Well, you could, but I chose different languages. But I just, from playing that game, know that aquí means here.
Right.
Or possibly there.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think.
Here.
Here.
Del Lago means from the lake.
Great.
Los Ganados means the cattle.
Right.
Yeah.
What does bocadillo mean?
Bocadillo?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that?
I don't know. Oh. That's from my Spanish lessons. It might be sandwich.
Oh, okay.
It might be.
I don't think anyone eats a sandwich. You're almost a Jill bocadillo.
Bocadillo and patatas fritas.
Yeah.
That's chips.
Right, potatus fritas.
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds about right.
Makes sense.
But, you know, other stuff. You know, you just learn about, like, if a game is historical and it's, like, reasonably accurate, you learn stuff about the way people lived or, you know, the names of kinds of carriage in Victorian England.
Resquire cat in pace.
Exactly. You know, all this kind of stuff. And sometimes I'm playing like Trivial Pursuit with the family or something like that, or we're watching a quiz show.
Which 17th century Italian town?
And I come out with an answer. And like my mum will look at me and go, how do you know that?
It's Monteriggioni. How did you know
what
that?
What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, sometimes these video games teach us things, mum.
What was the currency of 17th century Monteriggioni?
Florins, isn't it? It's Florence. Florins. Florins.
To the point that even gamers have skills that are like particularly special.
Special.
Do you remember that very specific example that people quite often pull out of the bag, which is that a load of biologists hired gamers to do protein folding? Are you aware of this?
Is it? This isn't folding at home, is it?
It might be. So basically there are these like, they're essentially 3D puzzles.
Oh, okay.
They're to do with like the way that proteins are folded in real life, in biology, like biochemistry. And like biologists like are trying to like, they sort of try and like work out how the structures work or like how to fold them or unfold them or something like that. And I think they created a game where they uploaded loads and loads of these proteins. And then gamers were just tasked with like, unfold this. This is what unfolding means. Do it on this.
It's like undoing a knot.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And gamers were like able to do these tasks that like biologists and presumably computers were struggling with. I guess it requires a bit of creativity and computers weren't very good at doing it.
Special gamer brains.
Yeah. And like literally just a bunch of gamers like helped out with this aspect of biology. That's pretty cool.
You know, that does actually, it's different from what I was thinking of, but that's another force for good. That back on the PlayStation 3 in the early days, there was a free app added. I can't remember if you had to download it or if it was just on the PS3. As standard, but it was called Folding at Home.
Okay.
And what it would do is I'm going to look it up exactly so I can get it right.
Okay.
But basically you would just, if your PlayStation 3 had some downtime and you weren't using it, you could just leave Folding at Home open and it would use the power of the PlayStation 3, which was significant, to solve various things, which I'm now looking up.
Oh. Maybe that might be, maybe I'm conflating the two. But I had it in my head that it was like the sort of the skill of the gamer. They were able to like almost solve these biological puzzles. But that also rings a bell.
Here we go.
They just used the power of the PlayStation as like computing power, didn't they?
So Folding at Home is a distributed computing project for disease research that simulates protein folding, computational drug design, and other types of molecular dynamics. The project uses the idle processing resources of thousands of personal computers owned by volunteers who have installed the software on their systems. Its main purpose is to determine the mechanisms of protein folding, which is the process by which proteins reach their final three-dimensional structure, and to examine the causes of protein misfolding. This is of significant academic interest with major implications for medical research into Alzheimer's disease, Huntington's disease, and many forms of cancer, among other disease. To a lesser extent, Folding at Home also tries to predict a protein's final structure and determine how other molecules may interact with it, which has applications in drug design.
There you go. That's probably what I was thinking of. But I'm sure I read an inaccurate write-up of it somewhere, and then I just took it as gospel because it was on the internet.
It's entirely possible. But either way, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
those are good things.
I might just check like how accurate my theory is that gamers were actually somewhat involved in doing something. But in any case,
yes. You know,
that's cool. That's great stuff.
There are some forces for good, Rexy. I hope that helps.
Yeah.
You know, as we've said, the world's bad.
It is.
But there are good things in it. You just have to try and focus on them over the bad. I'm not going on Twitter as much anymore.
No, I know.
I find not looking at the BBC News Twitter feed and then why do I do it? And then clicking and looking at the responses out of almost a morbid curiosity to see how awful humanity can be today.
Right.
And I'm always so disappointed. And I don't do that anymore. And that's a big step
in
being happier on the internet.
Just take some time away from it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can confirm Both of these things are true.
Hey!
Fold It is an online puzzle video game about protein folding, and essentially people who have the highest scoring solutions of like folding these proteins, the solutions are analyzed by researchers who determine whether or not there is a native structural configuration, in brackets, native state, that can be applied to relevant proteins in the real world.
Ah.
Whatever that means. But yeah, both of those things, your console and the player, are helping doing folds.
Well, there we go. Mm. There's a force for positivity.
Positivity.
In the world.
We can all better ourselves by being gamers.
Being gamers and coming together and holding hands around the world.
World.
And that's good. And it's not bad because it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now it's time for some news that's weird, but let's not judge it too harshly, because it could just be different. And different is sometimes good. It's just misunderstood.
Good is not bad.
It's time for misunderstood news articles.
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Weird news time, Peter.
Yes, Ben.
It's weird news.
Weird me up right in that head hole.
Are you okay? Yes. I'm going to weird your head hole right now.
I want something weird, like one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't guarantee that. But I got some strange news. Would that do?
Yeah, okay, I'll take strange.
Okay, there are now Sonic movie Halloween costumes and no one is ready.
Oh, my God.
This comes from Kotaku. By Joshua Rivera.
Rivera.
Okay. You ever spot a really bad idea and think, that's definitely going to have consequences that no one can foresee? To me, that's the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Not because of its questionable design choices, but because no matter how great Sonic's movie design is, Halloween was always coming, and when Halloween rolls around, so do horrifying costumes that barely resemble the things they are based on. Consider with me Party City's children's Sonic costume.
I think you mean Particity.
You're right, I do mean that. Since it is, in fact, based on the film, which would have been out this year were it not for last-minute hedgehog makeovers, we have a onesie adorned with a weird fur pattern and floppy hood spikes. It is good, perhaps, if you would like to dress up your progeny as Sonic the meme and not Sonic the mascot.
Right.
Get it for your child, and you will quickly become sorry for all the days they wear it that are not Halloween. So we can see this, but we've put a link in the description if you want to have a look. There he is.
Yeah, I saw this earlier in the office chat.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. That is horrible. I thought that was a... I think it is Photoshop.
Yes.
But it's...
The less said here, the better. But there's a reason that after years and years of memes and goofballs in blue tights, most have taken to wearing Sonic hoods, not Sonic masks. You're caught in chaos, the way Nick Cage did when he said he'd like to take John Travolta's face off. That's a reference.
That thing that happened.
None of us are ready for these to hit the streets, let alone the Sonic the Hedgehog film, which I now suspect has been delayed strictly to avoid association with any of this stuff. There's also... Oh, yeah. Sorry, I missed the line there because it was between so many adverts. It says, and then there's this F-word nightmare.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of a synthetic,
rubbery,
plastic, rubbery sonic mask, which is, as you said, definitely photoshopped over a man's face.
I've been trying to decide what I'm going to wear to a Halloween party that I'm going to, and yeah, maybe I'll just do that.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful. So there we go. If you want that, it's available now to buy. Maybe we should buy one.
Maybe we should.
I think that'd be good. I think we should unbox it and wear it on camera. But that'd make a good video. I bought the Sonic the Hedgehog movie Halloween costume.
Right.
And that's it. That's the title. And then we just make you run fast. Because it's for children, so yeah, you have to wear it. But then we just make you run fast.
And eat hula hoops.
Yes. I'm going to go back to... Okay, hang on. Let me... Remind me in half an hour to look up the price for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie Halloween costume.
Okay.
Okay, I'll remind you.
There we go. I'll have a look. No promises that that will happen, but it's there now. Weird me.
This is just slightly weird. It kind of makes sense, but it's still weird.
Okay.
Physical copies of Overwatch on Switch don't include a cartridge.
Okay.
This is according to Polygon. The world could always use more... plastic?
Plastic!
Question mark. Michael McWhirter.
Michael McWhirter.
Wrote this. If you're planning on picking up Overwatch for Nintendo Switch this week, it's out on Tuesday, October the 15th, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to grab your copy from the Nintendo eShop instead of trekking out to a brick-and-mortar retailer.
Brick and Morty is my favorite.
Brick and Morty, yes. The physical version of Overwatch for Switch doesn't contain a physical cartridge, just a download code.
Right.
So when I first read this headline and the subtitle that said... I just sort of, my eyes scanned over it and I saw the words, the world could use more plastic. And I kind of misinterpreted this and thought, oh, this is good. The reason they're not doing physical copies of Overwatch is because they're trying to, like, you know, they think, why are we going to make loads of little SD cards and stuff when we could just give you a code?
Right.
But no, what they're saying at Polygon is, you're going out to literally just buy a plastic case with nothing in it.
That's stupid, isn't it?
Which in today's climate of all... You know, they could have done this ages ago if they wanted to, but like the world is dying. What are you doing?
It's especially weird because this has been happening for some time with PC games.
Yeah.
But it's always been ridiculed.
Mm.
It's never really happened with actual physical consoles before because that's, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
I remember the Fallout 76 special edition we got came with a download code in a steelbook.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Why did you do that?
I don't understand why. Because clearly to use a download code, you have to have an internet connection. Also to play Overwatch, you have to have an internet connection.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for either have a physical copy, which, you know, there's some kind of reason that some people might want to buy a physical, you know, have the disc or the cartridge in this case.
What's that? What are you doing?
I'm just touching an invisible cartridge. I'm a small person.
It's really off-putting.
But... These people, by definition,
these people
must have an internet connection. Therefore, they should, if they don't want to do cartridges, they should just only make it downloadable online. Yeah. There's no reason to do this.
It doesn't make sense.
In some ways, it makes sense. It's literally what it's like. Overwatch is an online-only multiplayer game, and the game has been updated consistently over the past 3 years. The PlayStation 4 install is pushing 30 gigabytes at this point, for example. A physical cartridge would be little more than a digital key to the game, which regularly receives new content. Yeah, I agree with that, but then just don't sell the box.
No, don't.
Just sell the codes.
You used to be able to go into game... And probably with Xbox games as well, but certainly with certain PSN titles, they had them hanging on the same sort of card racks as the actual voucher, you know,
like
voucher
gift cards.
Yeah, the gift card things. So you could just go in and buy. They didn't sell it in a box.
But it makes less sense to ship a plastic case.
Fewer.
A fewer sense to ship a plastic case to stores with a digital code printed on a piece of paper, despite Overwatch being a marquee Switch release that probably should have a physical presence in stores. So, if you were thinking about buying Overwatch physically for the purposes of having a game card you could use on multiple Switch consoles, consider this a public service announcement. It says so right there on the box, quote, game card not included. But plan your purchase accordingly.
This is very clearly it's purely a marketing move so they can have boxes on shelves so people will know that it exists. But that is mind-bogglingly dumb, isn't it?
It is. I can't see how anyone could justify that as a company.
I get the idea of maybe
just tone deaf.
I wouldn't be against, you know, if I was a Switch fan, and not that I'm not a Switch fan, but if I was a Switch fan and an Overwatch fan and I could have a physical Overwatch box on my shelf, even if it had nothing in it, that'd be quite nice. But it is immensely wasteful and totally pointless when there's no actual cartridge inside.
Yeah, I don't think I couldn't get my head around just having an empty box on, even no matter how much of a fan I was of Overwatch or Switch. Like, you know, I'm obviously a Spyro 1 fan, but if for some reason I lost my disc, I would want to replace my disc.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to buy a special case. If there was like some kind of special, unique, magical case from back in the day that like was different to the one I had, then maybe so. But I wouldn't want to just purchase the game and just receive an empty case, because I would kind of think, well, that case doesn't mean anything because it didn't have the game in it in the first place.
Right.
You know, like, to me, having the case on the wall is like, oh, there's the box. There's the box that it arrived in.
Yeah.
It's probably in there right now.
It might be in there.
But just to receive a box with nothing in, I kind of feel like I could have just printed off that box art and, you know, framed it or something.
Although I think that's a bad example, because I know what you're like with Spyro.
Right.
And you would buy anything with Spyro on it. Even if it was empty.
No, I wouldn't, though.
I don't know, Peter.
I wouldn't buy...
I think if you're in that situation, you saw that little purple dragon. You saw that little purple dragon face.
I think it's a bad example because I already own a box with a disc in, so it's hard to say what I would do.
I totally get what you're saying.
But with a new game coming out, like, yeah. I would not buy a Beyond Good and Evil 2 empty case.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely would not do that.
It's just weird. It doesn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah.
You can't really buy physical PC boxes anymore for this reason.
Yeah.
Because most of them would just have download codes in, and that defeats the point. It's a very transparent marketing tactic, as I said, so they can literally just have a box on a shelf that people can see.
Mm-hmm.
But then it should just be like when you go to the Blockbuster. You remember the Blockbuster?
The Blockbuster.
And you take the empty case up to the till, and then they put the disc in and stuff. But like, you should just be given a receipt. Like when you go to Argos,
yeah,
right?
Remember,
and I'm
Argos.
Speaking from experience, Argos is still around.
Yeah, still around.
They're in Sainsbury's now, but they are there.
Yeah.
When I went to Argos, I got some PSN credit.
Okay.
And I took the physical, it wasn't a box, although it used to be a PlayStation 3 box.
Yeah.
You used to take a PS3 box up. And when you ordered, when you used to order PlayStation credit online or a PlayStation Plus subscription, sometimes play.com would post you a box with a code in it.
Sometimes you get that for Xbox Gold, Xbox Live Gold, I think.
Which is dumb. Mm. But now, even just the gift card, you take it up to the till, they scan it, they put it back on the shelf, and they print you out a receipt with a code in it.
Mm.
You don't need that stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's what Overwatch should do. They should be like, hey, look, we really want like actual shelf presence in your store.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not going to give you like 400 empty boxes. We're going to give you like 12 empty boxes to put on your shelf, like all the other games are lined up.
Mm.
And then, yeah, please just like give people a card when they take it to the counter. That's how it should be.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that was a bit weird.
That's super weird.
We've got a question here from Ian Rogers.
He's called Ian Rogers, actually.
Three first names.
He's Captain North America, Ian Rogers.
Iron Man.
Brother of Stabeven Bodgers.
Right.
Yeah.
When playing a game through for the first time, which difficulty do you play it on? Do you go for easy and enjoy the ride? Do you go for the hardest difficulty for the challenge? Or do you go for normal, like a chump?
Whoa.
It says here, apparently. A friend thought I was stupid for playing Uncharted 1 on the crushing difficulty on my first playthrough, but seeing all those trophies pop at the end gave me an intense tingly feeling.
Unless you were playing on the PS4 version, in which case it might be different. Crushing difficulty is actually only unlocked when you finish it on hard.
Oh. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, actually,
We're just joking, Ian. That is true, though, but we're not really. It's because you called us chumps, because, yeah, normal. Right? Of course.
Yeah.
I have a couple of examples where I didn't, though.
Okay.
I played through Dark Souls on baby mode. There's no difficulty in Dark Souls. There's no difficulty option in Dark Souls.
All right.
There's an article from the same guy at the same publication every time From Software releases a new game that's titled exactly the same that literally says, should such and such game have an easy difficulty.
Right.
And it's the same thing verbatim, and they only do it to get anger clicks.
Right.
Because people post about it like, oh, look how stupid this article is. He's done an identical story for Dark Souls 3 and Sekiro.
Right.
They're so similar. They've got pretty much the same headline. And when someone sent it to me earlier in the year saying, what do you make of this? I looked at it and I thought, this looks familiar. So I searched his name, and yeah, he wrote an identical one for Dark Souls 3 as well.
Right.
So it's so transparent. It's just hate-mongering, you know? That's something negative in the games industry,
for sure.
It's stupid. Anyway, yeah, that doesn't have a difficulty mode. Batman Arkham City, I was really looking forward to that game, and I got a nice version with a Batman in it.
Yeah.
With like a physical Batman.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it wasn't even like they took the Batman out of the game. So there was no Batman in the game anymore.
Just it was just an empty Arkham.
Yeah. It's just a floating camera that goes around Arkham, and then I got Plastic Man instead. I played that through on the hardest available difficulty right off the bat.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went all in for that game. There were various pre-order skins, and I really wanted the animated series one because I grew up with the animated series, and I love the animated series. But I ended up getting the Frank Miller, The Dark Knight Returns Batman, which is old Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Older Batman, I should say. And so I actually went out and bought the comic, the graphic novel, to read I could be aware of who this guy was properly. So I was looking forward to this game. I was ready for it.
Sounds like it.
So I played it on the hardest available difficulty that actually stripped out the prompts for reversing attacks and stuff.
Oh.
And I've got to say, I didn't really struggle with the game just because I learned from day one that this is how the game is played.
Right.
And I had a fantastic time. I really did feel like Batman.
Yeah.
Because I was able to tell when people were about to hit me.
You had to keep your eye on... Yeah, rather than without just the prompt.
Without
prompt.
The massive, ooh, my bat sense.
Yeah.
Whoops, my anarchy symbol.
Whoops.
So that was one time where I didn't do it on normal.
Mm.
The other time was I played Wolfenstein 2 on normal and then slowly, progressively dropped through the difficulties just because that game is so unfairly hard.
Yeah.
It's so unbalanced, that game. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably so. Fantastic game. But it's so bloody difficult.
Yeah.
Those were two times where I didn't go normal. But normally. Yeah.
I'm the same. I don't know if it's really a thing nowadays. And I've been racking my brains for an example. We've had these questions chosen for this podcast since yesterday evening. So I've had all night and all morning to think of an example. And I'm sure this is a thing. And maybe you'll be able to think of one. Once upon a time, if you played games on easy mode, they would sometimes not have certain sort of features available.
Time splitters, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, maybe.
Time splitters 2, that first level had an entire bit where there was like a spaceship you went on and stuff.
But right.
If you played it on easy, you didn't get that.
That's the sort of era I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Maybe it was time splitters.
No, you're right. I haven't thought of that for a long time.
So I got into the habit of always playing stuff on normal. I probably would have done anyway, but like especially with that in mind, you know, in the kind of PS2 era, thinking, well, I better not put it on easy, even if I wanted to, because I'll miss out on actual game content.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Since then, even though I don't think that's not really a thing anymore, I always play on normal. Mm. I'd never play on hard to begin with because... For my first run of a game, I just want to get through it. Like I just want to enjoy it. I then sometimes will, you know, go into hard for a challenge if I enjoyed a game that much and want to play it again and really get into it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, sometimes if I just want to play a game through for more sort of story purposes, I'll actually just switch it down to easy, just so I can run through and enjoy the narrative again. You know, my recent replays of the Uncharted games, I think I'm on normal. But I was very tempted just to stick it on easy, just because I like those games for the cinematic moments. Mm. And, you know, the gunplay in the first couple of games is pretty wank. You know, I was tempted to sort of make it a bit simpler.
Yeah. We stream on Easy as well, though, don't we?
Yeah,
usually.
We do.
Just because it's just, you know, you want to experience it, you want to show off the game, you don't want to be dying a lot.
You don't want to keep looping things for an audience who aren't even playing with you.
And getting frustrated as well.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to do that. You know, Dark Souls streamers and stuff put themselves through a lot.
Yeah.
And try not to get too mad.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's what we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we normally do.
I also actually, sometimes I do that on Skyrim and Oblivion. They don't have like specific settings. They've got a slider for difficulty.
Have they?
Not when you start the game. I think when you start, it just goes in at normal. Mm. But if you pause the game and go on the gameplay options, you can slide the difficulty up and down.
Oh.
And occasionally, it depends sort of what kind of playthrough I'm doing. If I want to do it for the gameplay.
Yeah.
And we all know that Skyrim has some fantastic swords combat.
It is the best combat I've ever seen.
So if you're playing through for the gameplay,
as long as you're protected with your cuirass, of course.
Yes, I would leave it as it is. But if I'm just sort of doing a bit more of an RP kind of run,
that means rotten potato.
Receive pronunciation. Okay. Then sometimes I knock the difficulty down a bit, so I can run around. I can just stab bandits. You know, if I want to play as a bit more of a badass. Especially when you're sneaking around and like you slash someone in the dark, you do 3 times damage, but because you're level 2, they still don't die.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if I snuck up behind someone, I don't care how skilled or unskilled I was with a sword, I would probably be able to kill them.
Sounds like a prove it to me.
Yeah, okay. but yeah, so sometimes I'll knock that down, almost for kind of realism purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I certainly do, Ian, understand your intense tingly feeling for getting all those trophies at once.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't, for the same reason I'd play through as you do with your first playthrough on normal, just to experience and enjoy the game. I try not to look at the trophies anymore unless I'm specifically playing a game for trophies.
Yeah.
I like to play through a game just at my own pace. And if I get towards the end, I might have a cursory Google just to see if there are any trophies that are locked out at certain points and try and be mindful to get those while I can. It's so if, you know, I don't have to do another playthrough if I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yes, getting all the trophies at once is nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Peter.
Yep.
It's time for a huge disc. I mean, we're already running long. This is going to be, it's going to be a big discussion.
It is gonna
probably
be a big one.
We got a lot of material to get through. So let's move on to a big discussion.
Let's.
Grand discussion time. Hello. This is from Molly Muckdade.
Yeah. And she sent us a 3-word question here.
Yeah.
So a small question for a big discussion.
We've got four dots in the ellipsis here, which is not, it's not grammatically.
It's not actually.
It's three.
Yeah, conventional.
Three is there, but four, you know, style it out. We'll style it out.
Why not?
Do you want to do the ellipsises here? You ready?
Yeah.
So.
Dot, 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 dot.
Blizzard.
Comma.
Huh?
Question mark.
Okay. So this is a very complicated situation. I would like to preface this, Peter, and I'm sure you're with me on this, by saying that this is a very complicated political situation that's going on at the moment. I don't want the fact that we are probably going to avoid talking about the volatile situation currently in Hong Kong to be misinterpreted as us being either apathetic towards it or not believing in the cause of the protesting Hong Kongers currently. But just in the interest of relevance to a video game podcast, we're going to provide a quick summary, according to The Guardian, as to what is actually happening in Hong Kong before we move on to talk about how that is affecting Blizzard at the moment.
Yeah, the video game related aspect. We're not here to talk about, on our video game podcast, the political state of Hong Kong.
No. And I think I speak for both of us when we say you go, girls and boys.
You go, girls and boys, absolutely.
Go do your thing. Triple Jump stands with you.
Without a doubt, but yeah. We're here for the video game aspect.
Yes, we is. So this is going to involve a little bit of reading out loud.
Mm.
Read aloud in front of the class just because, you know, I'd rather quote directly from a source before we give our opinions on things.
Yeah.
So this is taken from a Guardian article that's literally titled, you know, what are the protests about?
What the hell is going on?
What the hell is going on? Would you like to get this first, Bip?
Yes. The protests were initially focused on a bill that would have made it possible to extradite people from Hong Kong to China, where the Communist Party controls the courts. Many Hong Kongers feared the law would be used by authorities to target political enemies, and that it would signify the end of the one country, two systems policy, eroding the civil rights enjoyed by Hong Kong residents since the handover of sovereignty from the UK to China in 1997. Millions of people joined street marches against the bill, paralysing the city. The protests have gone from weekly to almost daily. Are you taking this or next page?
I'll take this next bit. Here we go.
Okay.
Handing it back and forth.
Yeah.
The heavy-handed response from police, including violent clashes and the use of tear gas and rubber bullets against demonstrators and the blinding of a woman in one eye, prompted the movement to adopt wider pro-democracy goals. The extradition bill was suspended by the territory's chief executive, Carrie Lam, in mid-June, but protesters want it officially withdrawn. In addition to demanding Lam's resignation, the protesters are calling for the complete withdrawal of the proposed extradition bill, the government to withdraw the use of the word riot in relation to protests, the unconditional release of arrested protesters and charges against them dropped, an independent inquiry into police behaviour and implementation of genuine universal suffrage. So, that is, in the most basic of terms, what and why happening is B to doing in the Hong Kong.
In the Hong Kong.
We know that we have viewers / listeners who are either based in Hong Kong or from Hong Kong, so we hope that you are well and safe.
Safe.
And please,
we hope it goes your way.
Please keep it up if you can and are safe to do so.
Yes.
Now, we move on to Kotaku. Because in the wake of the events of what is happening in Hong Kong currently, various, specifically US-based companies, have been getting into hot water.
Yes.
Because they have vested financial interests in China. And so any person that is perceived to speak for them,
yeah,
who speaks in favor of what's happening in China, has been basically punished by China. The company's been punished by China for that person's actions, which has caused these US companies, many of them, including Blizzard, and this includes the NBA as well, I think, to sort of backpedal and force an apology. And it's been perceived as sort of bowing down to a totalitarian, very nasty government.
Yeah, what they've really done is upset both sides because, you know, they've either expressed things or had things expressed on their platform that are sort of pro-Hong Kong, and their Chinese business affiliates have been upset by that. Then said company, Blizzard, for example, have publicly sort of said, oh, no, we're not doing pro-Hong Kong stuff. Oh, that's bad. Down with the Hong Kong protest.
Yay, China.
So then they've upset their audience, who are mostly, I think, pro-Hong Kong and democratic. Mm. And then, because of the upset, they've done a lot of backpedaling, a lot of these companies, and now they've kind of upset China again, but not really won round their audience in the first place. We can be more specific with this Kotaku article.
Yes. So let's talk about Blizzard. As we said, this is taken from Kotaku.
Yes.
Should we alternate paragraphs?
Yeah, okay.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
In as much as this can be fun.
Right. Should I begin?
Go for it.
Multiple groups are in the process of organizing protests set to take place outside BlizzCon, the annual convention held by game developer Blizzard, in response to its suspension of a Hearthstone player for expressing support for Hong Kong during a live event.
Take one look at the internet right now, and it's pretty apparent that people aren't happy with Blizzard after it suspended Hearthstone pro Blitzchung, I think that's how you say his username, and stripped him of his prize winnings at the Asia Pacific Grandmasters for wearing a mask and saying, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our age." Fans and industry pros alike have been vocal about their disapproval of the move, which they see as Blizzard backing down in the face of Chinese economic pressure. Blizzard has since partially reversed its decision, returning Blitzchung's prize money and cutting his suspension down to 6 months. However, it still intends to forbid players from speaking about politics at its events.
Already, the protest BlizzCon subreddit is awash with sternly worded condemnations of Blizzard and the Chinese government, as well as creative protest ideas. Moderators Adrian and Thompson are planning to adopt some of those, comma, many centering around the Overwatch character Mei, I think.
Yes.
Who who has become a symbol of resistance in Hong Kong. Thompson said the protest will likely feature shirts, banners and flyers that have memes, images and art of Overwatch's May supporting Hong Kong.
We have one May cosplayer we are trying to support and get to BlizzCon to protest Blizzard and support Hong Kong outside the Anaheim Convention Center, he said. We are looking into ideas on how to donate or fund her into getting here or there.
Yeah. Somewhere.
So that's the gist of what's going on at Blizzard, at least. They've pissed off everybody by not only seemingly siding with China, but also by taking action against their own player base.
Yeah. I couldn't believe this when I first heard about it. So their argument for why they refused to give the prize money to Blitzchung, as he called?
Yes.
And suspended him was you're not allowed to talk politically on, you know, at our events, all right? You're not allowed to express political opinions. Now, that may be so. You know, maybe that's always been in the rules and, you know, they're just saying, well, look, you know, it's in the rules. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't think the punishment for having done that should be, we're going to take the money off you that you've won fair and square in our competition. It's just very thinly veiled, I think. Like, it's so blatant that they're really trying to make an example of this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there's like precedent for, oh, well, someone once made a political statement before and we took their money off them and suspended them for a long time. Or if that's just, this is the first major case of this happening. If that's so, you know, they could have done something a lot more lenient if it was just a case of, look, you're not really supposed to be political on here. But it's not that, is it? It's that they do have business partners in China.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we're going to come down on this guy like a ton of Overwatch empty cartridge cases.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's money over ethics is what it is, ultimately.
But
I think in a similar way that the people of Hong Kong are protesting for their rights, I don't think Blizzard realized that actually their player base and their supporter base are going to put up with this.
Yeah.
You know, we've already seen, and there's a few bullet points I put here, we've already seen that many players have deleted their accounts and stopped streaming Hearthstone and other Blizzard games like Overwatch. May, who you mentioned earlier,
yeah,
has purposefully been made a symbol of the Hong Kong resistant in an effort to get China to ban Blizzard products,
yeah,
to sort of punish Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's backfiring in a major way. And one of the mission statements for Blizzard is, was it, every voice matters?
Yeah.
And people who work at Blizzard, there's a tweet that's gone viral where people who work at Blizzard are furious about this as well,
because
it's not their decision, you know, it's higher ups. And the sign outside their offices has been covered up, that bit that says every voice matters. So it just seems like they've totally screwed the pooch on this.
Yeah, to be clear, sorry, that's the disgruntled employees sort of ironically covering up,
yes,
saying, oh, look, this is what our company thinks, that other voices don't matter.
They've stuck a piece of paper over it.
It's not that the lower downs were angry and then the higher up said, right, well, let's cover that side up then.
No, not at all.
Sorry, just thought I'd clarify, but yeah.
Yes, people who work there are very angry and have covered the sign up as a form of protest.
Yeah.
But as you said, all this has served to do for Blizzard and numerous other companies as well is just piss everyone off.
Yeah.
Not only have they irreparably upset their own audience, but that audience now is boycotting their stuff and actively, in the case of Blizzard, trying to get them in more hot water with their Chinese partners that they are so fond of protecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear, if you have any kind of conscience or sort of moral compass,
yeah,
that the people of Hong Kong are doing the right thing and are being treated so horrendously,
yeah,
by the Chinese government. It doesn't take much Googling or looking at news sites to work out that the Chinese response to these peaceful protests is way over the top and completely unacceptable. And so any decent person would be able to sort of vote with their conscience a little bit,
yeah,
and say, you know, maybe we shouldn't Maybe we should side with our own audience over this. I think Epic actually came out and said no one will ever be suspended or banned for talking about politics and that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
they've really fluffed it here.
I think some of the protests aren't as peaceful, but you know, I think that's partly in response to how the peaceful protests have been treated by the police.
Absolutely. You know? And I know we said we wouldn't talk about the political side, but there is significant evidence that Chinese police have infiltrated the protests as protesters to make it seem violent, which is not surprising at all. It's mad.
It's a whole mess. But just the mere notion that, you know, I'll go back to the idea that, like, if Blizzard truly, truly just are of the opinion that, look, we just don't want to, like, talk politically on our platform, that's an opinion they would be entitled to have. But I think the way in which they came down on this guy was just so out of proportion, and they were clearly making an example of him. You can't say you said a Hong Kong thing at our event, you're not having your money, you know? It's just insane. So I frankly am kind of pleased that they're getting the kind of backlash that they're getting.
Yes. No, me too. Me too.
I hope they get in trouble with their Chinese partners, because now May is a symbol of the Hong Kong resistance.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. They've actually offered a very weak apology, which is where they said that they were giving him his money back and stuff. But there's...
And only reducing his suspension.
Yeah, they're reducing it. They're not outright sort of letting him back in again.
Yeah.
And there's conflicting reports about the fact that he may have actually been fined the amount that he was due to win.
Right.
So I don't know if that's been lifted or if there's any truth to that, but it's just Activision Blizzard is not the most popular company in the world anyway.
No.
And you would have thought the Blizzard aspect would be the shining beacon. But in the wake of the BlizzCon last year with the "is this an out of season April Fool's joke" and stuff, they've slowly, all the big companies seemingly have been slowly losing more and more credibility. Bethesda, EA have always been rock bottom.
Yeah.
Activision have not been great. And now Blizzard, who obviously are very, very close to Activision as the same company, it's just...
I feel like they're trying to one-up each other.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Who can do the most controversial, unpopular thing? Me. Yeah. No, me, says EA. No, I'll try.
I'll do it. Go on Reddit, see if we can take EA's record for the most downvoted Reddit post of all time. Well, there we go. I don't think there's much more we can say about that. We just sort of wanted to cover the situation and acknowledge it at least.
Yeah.
We've tried to give a... sort of a decent overview, but it's very complicated and it's not something we can really get into, so I'd recommend going and doing some reading, perhaps.
Yeah,
other doing your own research and making your own opinion
better informed than we are. I think there'll be people out there who can really give you the ins and outs, but that's our take and that's our understanding of it.
And as we said, we hope the people of Hong Kong, specifically those who may actually be hearing this, who listen to us and watch us, we hope you're safe and we hope you're well.
Yeah.
And please look after yourselves.
And we wish you the best and hope this all gets undone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Peter.
Yes.
Where can people find us?
We are at Team Triple Jump, almost everywhere you could possibly look.
Yeah.
Except on Hearthstone and Overwatch.
We've been banned.
Yeah. YouTube.com, we haven't. We have not been banned from any Blizzard.
We never joined.
No. YouTube and Twitch, Team Triple Jump is where you can see our content. Mm. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Team Triple Jump. We've got social media man, Luke Eldon, who's looking after our Facebook for us. And likewise, Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps look after the chat when we're on YouTube and Twitch doing our streams.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We've got a patron. It's patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can ask questions on this podcast. You can get into a special Discord room, which is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump. We've got a mod over there. That's Jack Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
He's our Discord mod. If you want to listen to the audio version of the podcast, it's play.acast.com/s/triple jump. And the website is triplej.mup. We've got a store and things.
It certainly is. Yeah. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can do at @PeterAustin@confused_dude and on Instagram @ThatPeterAustin and @BenPotter20. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch. Thursday being on YouTube. There was no Thursday stream this week because we were at EGX.
We were.
We were busy boys.
Yeah.
Worst Games is fortnightly. That's Friday for patrons, although this week is a Worst Games week, and it actually went out on Thursday for patrons of a certain tier.
Same for next time as well.
If you want to get it early, that's how you do it. It'll be out on Sunday for everybody else, so if you're listening to this on Saturday, we hope you enjoy it tomorrow, you freeloader.
Yeah.
Just joking. Okay. Only joking.
We love you.
Podcast is every Saturday. And we do other various content things as well, other
bits
shows.
Bits and bats.
Bits and bobbles. There'll be a new show out next week as well, one of our shows. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, something about algorithms, and I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I think that's all.
Hope we saw you at EGX. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah.
Hope you're excited about stuff that you saw either at the event or on the coverage on the internet, so if you couldn't be there.
Yes, absolutely. Just time for a quick word from our responses. Our responses?
Yes.
Because they're Revengers, so they're the responses.
Yes.
The Revengers, what was it?
Disassemble.
You've got Torby Stonk, Blank Window.
Rocky Ragtag.
Yeah, Gonorrhea, Tax Deductible. Storblorb.
The Baha Men.
Professor Layton.
Shaggy and Scooby.
Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah.
Mona the Vampire.
And definitely Sam Driver from
Cult of Hollywood. Driver. I'm looking at him right now. He's suiting up. I can see him through the window.
Mm.
He's got the Brazilian flag in sort of sepia tone on one of his monitors. I wonder what he's working on.
Some sort of sepia Brazilian project.
Exactly, some sort of sepia Brazilian flag project.
Yeah.
Something like that, anyway. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And we'll be back next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye!
Goodbye.
'Folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.